When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're recording. Welcome everyone to the Rink Rat Report podcast. Recording this one Tuesday, March 12th, a little bit late at night here. Thankfully, we actually don't, semi-thankfully, because the excitement's kind of over with it. We don't have to really timestamp things anymore simply because there's no more trades happening. Only minor league trades happening. Only AHL trades really happening. As always, joined by Jason.
Yes, exciting deadline. It was crazy stuff. We were kind of right about things. Our sources were saying that a lot of teams would in the West would make trades. We got that. Our sources were also saying that the Leafs would trade for a defenseman. We got that. And our sources were also saying the Leafs would trade for a forward. We got that. Who are our sources? No one. It's me. I don't have any sources. Just a meme at this point.
Will say this. So, like someone bringing up that the Leafs had to overtrade for Tanev to get him out of Calgary because Calgary's management was sour about Tree Living. I don't think that's true. I think that's pretty made up.
I think that's made up too.
From legitimately what I had heard, the teams on the Tuesday, Tanev got traded on the Thursday. The three teams that had the most offers on the table for Tanev, number one best offer was Dallas, who eventually got him. Number two was Vancouver. And number three was Toronto. Toronto just didn't put forth. Think about what Tanev went for. Not a first. He went for a second, a B-ish prospect, and a fourth for the extra retention. The
plus Leafs a conditional third.
And then the conditional third for Stanley Cup. But that's Fugazi. Because everyone has like a 10%. Okay, 10% chance you get a third round pick. Congratulations, whatever. The Leafs didn't have a second. How were they supposed to package that all together, something similar, unless they overpaid if you don't have a second? You'd have to get extremely creative, and that would only be if Calgary liked your prospects, which they might not have. The kid they got from Dallas.
Exactly, and that's the point I was about to make right there, is that like they seem to value Grishikov, is that his name?
The prospect. Bulldogs, OHL champion.
They seem to value him a lot more than like the average prospect person values them because.
No. A couple guys, the NHL eSquare guys didn't like him because they've never watched him. Consistently watched him were saying he's a B prospect. He's got good feet. He's got a good stick. He's got good defensive ability. Kind of his ceiling is kind of Tanev, which is funny in that realm of the trade. But yeah. Anyways, just to get that off the table there. We're going to be talking about trade deadline, what happened there with the Leafs, what happened in the East, maybe a little bit in the West. I don't know. We're not going to be breaking the biggest trades. We're going to what is relevant to the Leafs from what happened in the trade deadline. We're going to go over the two games really quickly. Both were pretty shitty games. I will say that both were, especially the game against Montreal was terrible. Like I've never seen two teams, unless I'm forgetting something, just what I noticed, what caught my eye was that both teams were so damn bad at defending the blue line. It was unbelievable. And I got to say, Morgan Rielly did a horrific job of that. But I mean, like sky is blue, today's Tuesday, right? So what else is new? Before we get into all that, we're going to talk about our friends at Manscaped. Top of the morning to you. This episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers Manscaped TM. This year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in the below-the-kilt care. Say goodbye to your clover forest with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use the code RINKRAT, that is RINKRAT, for 20% off and free shipping. Before we get into that, though, we got a question from someone on Twitter. I got the handle here.
It's Austin no. Matt 51041. Matthews.
Yes, Matthews fan.
Yeah.
I'm curious, are you and Takes by Jay in favor of an extension for Domi next year? How do you boys like his fit? Fit is there hasn't really been a fit. And the fit was last year that he's just a very difficult player to fit in, but he brings something. And that something came out against Montreal. That something comes out not that consistently. So he's an extremely difficult player to like consistently mm-hmm. and an extremely difficult player to like every day your opinion's going to change on him because he's so volatile. He A, yeah. absolutely cannot defend. He mm-hmm. B, is not going to like cycle the puck that well, but off the rush, he's phenomenal. And he's got the speed to be able to generate off the rush chances consistently. He torched Montreal on Saturday. I thought he had a great game on the wing, which is surprising because I don't think I liked any games of his on the wing this year, right? So would I extend Max Domi? It depends what's out there. I don't know what's out there at center. Like, would I like less volatility? It depends on a lot of things, I would say, really. Mm-hmm. Like, Max Domi went from signing, what, 1 year, $3.5 million with Chicago, right? And then 1 year, three with the Leafs after, like, a 60-point year, right? Yeah. What's his value league-wide? Like, are teams really looking at this season and being like, wow, this guy's worth $6 million? I don't think so. Like, it really, really depends what's out there because mm-hmm. he's frustrating, but he definitely, you cannot deny he brings something to the lineup. I also, like, you know what? I'm going to say it. Thursday? I don't mind that. Games out of hand. But go after Brad Marchand, go after Charlie McAvoy, act like a complete psycho. All right. I like it. Not bad.
Yeah. That is like why I think he is a fit, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, so for those, like you said right there, maybe he's not, it's been what, 62, 63 games now. Hasn't really carved out a spot where it's like he fits in this lineup, but that's
spot.
Yeah. But that's where the fit is though. You're right. Right. Like the pros of him is that, like, because I think you did a good job of listing like his downsides, right? But his pros is that he has lineup flexibility in the sense that in a pinch, right? Like if someone's hurt, he can play center for you. If you have a top six player out, he can play there for a game and provide you that offensive mm-hmm. upside in that sense. He's horrible defensively, but what is his best role for the team? If he could be like a bottom six contributor, that's, I think, where he would shine with the team. If like maybe like a Jason Spezza, maybe what Jason Spezza yeah. was to us.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sure. Like where on the fourth line, but how much are you paying for that?
That's the thing. He makes three now, but we just paid Kampf 2.4 mm-hmm. for 4 years. Is he worth more than Kampf? Can we swing? Like, would you be comfortable with a 2x2?
I don't think you're going to get him for 2x2, but I will also say this. I think right now he's playing the wing. I think this extended look on the wing will also kind of give you another note to work off of in terms of can you keep him? Like, okay, he can actually play the wing now, because at the beginning of the year, he looked totally lost on the wing because he really likes the middle of the ice, which is fantastic because he likes space to work with. He likes carrying the puck a little bit and then throwing cross ice dishes, right? That's where he kind of excels. Like on the wing at the beginning of the year, he just looked awkward. And it's sometimes I saw that in the year before as well. And if you go back to our free agency deadline, like I said it, sometimes on the wing, he bleeds into the middle, doesn't really keep a consistent position, but he did a good job on Saturday working with Yarncroc and Tavares to be able to like play the wing, but also use space to his advantage. I mean, there was a chance with 30 seconds left in the first period where he strips the puck in the defensive zone, feeds it up to Yarncroc. Yarncroc moves to the middle, creates a little bit of space, and Max Domi, boom, go straight line speed, is able to get a decent shot off. And even look at his goal. It's just a boom, go, find the space, gets the puck breakaway, scores, right? So if you're able to kind of, if he's able to show an ability to play the wing more, okay, sure. Mm. Because Max Domi, unfortunately, is not a third line center on a Stanley Cup winning team. Right? That's nothing crazy to say.
Well, with our team build right now, I agree with you. He's not. Like, if we had a better second line that could probably be utilized in a more defensive role, I think maybe you could find a fit there. I think the problem is that your second line needs offensive zone starts.
That's true.
Like, but it needs water, right? So that's I think the bigger problem with it. It's that, like, the way you constructed your team is that it's not a fit on the third line center. But I think you're right in saying that. Like, it's
I don't think there's a lot of teams, though, where, like, you look at the top two centers and then you go, oh, yeah, Max Domi would fit perfectly here. He's just an awkward fitting guy, but he does bring something to the table. So I think in terms of if you've missed out on a few guys, if you're a little bit capped out in terms of and you need that, you need a third line center, you need a little bit of offense. I think, sure, I don't mind bringing him back for $3 million. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he's going to go for. I don't know really what's out there yet. So, I want to see how he looks on the wing.
Yeah. I don't think his value is that high around the league. So I think we'd be able to get him relatively cheap. And again, he has not below
three, though. I think three is where it's going to land.
The question that I feel like he'll be presented with is, do I want to stay on a team that has a chance to win the cup and make a lot less money? Or do I want to go to, like, an Arizona? They'll pay me more. I'll play on their first line. I'll score a ton of points, but that's all I'll do.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
It's like he's 29 now, turning 30. What does he want? What are his goals in his career? So those are, like, some things you'll have to think about. And maybe we won't have the best offer on the table, but we're definitely the best environment because he grew up here.
He loves being a Leaf.
He loves being a Leaf. I tweeted this out in Boston when they were playing Boston. He plays as if he was a part of this team for the last 10 years and experienced all the heartbreaks that we as fans experienced. He plays like that. And I know people like to say people don't care, blah, blah, blah. And, like, that's not me insinuating that our players don't care.
Yeah,
they do care. But the way that he plays, it's like he plays like he got his heart ripped out like we have as fans the last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Game's out of hand. Go after Marchand. Go after McAvoy. I love it.
One thing I want to throw out there as well, just I know we're going to touch on the games, but, and maybe this is like a segue to get into the games, but Jeremy Swayman is, like, very close to Jordan Binnington territory with his attitude, I would say. He's starting to get there for me. And I don't know if it's because I don't want to watch a lot of Boston Bruins games. And I don't know if there's that thing that happened in St. Louis like 2 days ago and just watching him play. Like, he's a little like challenging Joseph Woll, who's apparently his friend, to, like, a goalie fight. Like, he's a little bit.
When you look at the World Junior team that Swayman was on, the other two goalies were Ottinger and Joseph Woll.
Mm-hmm.
So they're familiar with each other. It was interesting to see. I was like, what the hell?
It's a weird. It's a weird thing. He really likes to get involved. Like, even, like, they were showing some shots of him in front of the net where he would lay down the hammer on players. Like, he would use that glove hand. Not to stop a puck, but to give you a nice little shot in the back. Like, he's not afraid of doing that. He likes to hit sticks out of the way, like, after the whistle and stuff, like, slash sticks out of hand. He's, like, getting to Jordan Binnington territory of being annoying.
Not quite. So, Binnington was just,
like, he's a nut.
He always, even in the minors, he was always trying to fight and always doing this dumb stuff. But
Swayman is,
I will,
like,
say this with Swayman. Second, like, if Joseph Woll, the Lego fanatic piano playing goalie, fought in a game, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked. So I think Swayman was going after the wrong guy. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure the Boston crowd would have loved that, but
whatever.
He had our number that night. Not that the Leafs really put forth too many chances. Like, you look at the game, and I like to look at, like, just to quickly breeze over the Boston game, because again, they got outplayed. It didn't start off very well with the 5-on-3, the unjustified 5-on-3. So to put yourself behind the 8-ball there was a little bit unfortunate, we'll call it. But I will say this, when you look at, like, the little chances here and there, it was a 4-1 game. Mitch Marner decided to not shoot. I don't want to say it like that. Never mind. He double clutched on an open net. He got the pass. He didn't just fire it at the net. He double clutched on it. He tried to wrap it around. And then they're saying that that's where he hurt his knee. That's some, like, that's the, Mitch Marner, the guy who sometimes drives you crazy because he passes on high danger opportunities, which makes him a great, that's why he's also a great player. He's a great vision, great passer. But he passed up on an open net and then ended up getting injured. You can't make this stuff up. You genuinely, if you were to write an ad lib or a piece of satire for the Beaverton, it said Mitch Marner injures himself on not shooting on an open net. It just wouldn't be believable. It'd be like, oh, okay, that's. But it happened. It happened.
Writes itself. It writes
exactly.
Itself.
Yeah. I could not believe that happened there. So there was that, and then Austin Matthews got his only 5-on-5 chance that I've seen in the past like 5 games because McAvoy got hit in the nuts, and he just put it into Swayman's chest on a deke. So that was lovely. And I think there was another post here or there. Like, the Leafs had some chances. They had some life at times. They really didn't do themselves any favors in that one. Right?
Yeah, but as silly as that sounds, that game gave me more confidence in this team moving forward, heading into the playoffs. Just the way I think, like, I'm in the camp that this team is deathly sick right now. Like, there's a lot of players on the team that are incredibly sick. The only reason why
coming off of a back to back on the road too, you have to consider that.
Like, and I've gone to a couple of Leafs games since the new year, and I've been sick after every single one. So there's something going around in that arena. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm licking the seats or something. I don't freaking know. Maybe I'm making out with the players, and that's the problem. But
oh god,
but no,
there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course, but I'm telling you, like, for me, like, I don't really have usually that weak of an immune system. I'm a pretty clean dude.
This is like the fourth time that they've been like, oh, this player's sick. This player's sick.
It's like this weird thing that's going around. There's something going around, and we just need the sun to come out, get that vitamin D. Everyone's got to be taking their vitamin D pills.
It's sunny today. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I will also add Boston going 2-for-5. Your penalty kill really did not do you many favors in this one as well. Yeah.
And just
and then the Brandon Carlo goal at the end of the second, that was really ugly. I thought it was deflected maybe, but you know, sucks.
I was just gonna say, I like the last thing on this, on them being sick, it feels like towards the third period the play declines incrementally, and it's not like a, like,
that's people just look back to back.
They just look tired, and I felt that in Montreal too. They just look tired, like physically exhausted. So who knows?
They get a good break now.
Exactly. So much needed. Couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing about the Boston game? Oh, I will add this. And then after, because they lose to Boston, you know, they go 0-2-2 this year against Boston. The last two games weren't the prettiest, we'll call them. Here's what I will say about that, because now a lot of people are like, they have no shot against Boston in the playoffs. They have no shot. They lost all their games against Boston this year. Do you want to know what the Leafs record was against the Florida Panthers last year in the regular season?
It was 3-0-1.
What happened in that series? They lost in 5. Hold on a second. It's almost as if the regular season record against the other team does not matter. It's not the same lineup as what it's in the playoffs. It's not the same strategy. The Leafs are not going to be coming into Boston coming off of a back-to-back against them. On top of that, like, what was the other point? I lost my train of thought, but that's okay. Regular season records do not matter. And on top of that, this is what it was. Who did Boston just get waxed by? The St. Louis Blues. The Leafs beat the hell out of the Blues.
Yeah.
The regular season record against an individual team does not matter in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Anyways.
Yep. No, and just to throw one more thing in there, it's hard to beat a team 4 times twice. It's hard to beat a team 4 times twice.
we'll put that
as something. That's something.
I'm gonna put that on the wall, touch it every day. Hard to beat a team 8 times in 1 year.
4 times twice.
4 times twice. 4 times 2. The Montreal game was a good game from Samsonov. I really liked his game there. I think the difference in that game was literally Samsonov made more good saves than Montembeau. I think the Leafs played like shit in that one. I thought Joel Edmondson did not look very good in that one. I thought Morgan Riley struggled on zone entries, but that was okay because the Montreal Canadiens defense was literally atrocious on zone entries. Arbor Jack, I had an extremely tough time dealing with Bobby McMahon. Bobby McMahon bitched him in that game. Bobby McMahon got three chances directly off of Arbor Jack Eye. One was Jack Eye didn't have a good angle on him. McMahon just walked into the zone, got a good chance. Another was he stole the puck off of him in the first period and then didn't shoot for whatever reason, sent a pass into Nyes's shin pads. And then the third one was his goal that he ripped on. That was on Arbor Jack Eye too. So that was a terrible game by the Leafs on Saturday. I was really, really disappointed in that one, unfortunately. But Tavares had a good game. Domi had a great game. And McMahon had a good game. And Samsonov had a good game. And that's what really pushed them through. Right?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of the game.
Because we already went through Domi, use of space.
I was going to say, yeah.
McMahon, same thing, use of space. Austin Matthews hasn't had a 5-on-5 chance outside of McAvoy getting his nuts exploded.
And I was just going to say the sickness thing. I think that's real. And the Montreal game kind of solidified that in my head.
Well, I hope. Oh my God, they looked lifeless and garbage.
Right? Won though. So
let's transition. So we got to see the Leafs trade deadline acquisitions in that game for the first time. And so let's transition into the trade deadline, I guess.
Before I do that, though, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors over at DraftKings. We know hockey games move very fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can get $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets here. Going to keep the update on the Hart conversation. Nathan McKinnon's pulled pretty far ahead, -110. Austin Matthews is sitting in that juicy +300. But as we've been speculating on this podcast last 20 minutes, we think he's a little sick. So look for a little bit of an
Austin Matthews. Sick for 10 games? He's been terrible recently. He's done nothing.
Look for a little Austin Matthews bounce back. If you think that's going to happen, you got the +300 sitting out there for the Hart. Keep an eye on that throughout the season as we wind down here in the last 3 to 4 weeks of this NHL calendar. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only in DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available to problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. And as I was saying this, I don't know if Connor McDavid did something because Austin Matthews jumped up to +330 on DraftKings. Don't know what happened there. Oh, Nathan McKinnon did something. He's now -130. So someone seems to be taking some Nathan McKinnon at -110. Oh, he's moving to -140. He must be doing something crazy right now if this is happening. Anyways.
Who knows? Anywho, shall we get into the go figure? I didn't realize this. The Leafs get a little metropolitan rip recently, no? So they're going into Philadelphia next game. I should probably pull up their schedule and not the standings. They go Philadelphia, Hurricanes, Philadelphia, Capitals. And then the Hurricanes actually again. So Hurricanes twice in March. Nice. Because we'll talk about them very, very shortly. Anyways, what did you think of the Leafs trade deadline overall? Now that the dust has settled.
I'm happy with it. Looking at, Looking at the players available, we were in a tough spot because this feels like the worst year not having a second round pick or multiple second round picks, because holy fuck, everyone was going for second round picks. And there was players that you'd prefer to get.
And as we mentioned, it seemed like, and the craziest thing, so what did we mention last episode with retention?
The cost of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so then we saw a few players go with retention, right? Then we saw a few players go without retention, and we saw the true price. Yeah. And oh boy. Yeah, the retention price seemed, the cap hit retention price was more than what these players were all going for. Jason Zucker, who has about a point every other game, scored 27 goals last year, went for a sixth round pick because the Coyotes refused to retain on him. Mm-hmm. Matt Dumba, who people were saying the Leafs should trade a first round pick for him.
That was nuts.
He went for nothing to Tampa again because they did not retain on him. Both deals from the Coyotes. So stay hot, Arizona. You decided to get what, a couple sixth round picks in return instead of a couple third round picks in return because you're too cheap to retain. So great job. I don't know why they would. Well, I do know why. Rents do. Anyways, so that was interesting to see that. The Leafs, again, as you mentioned, tough spot. Really, the guy you really needed was Chris Tanev at the end of the day, it seemed like, right?
Yeah. But we kind of broke down the cost of why we weren't able to get Tanev. And I guess we can get into like our everything that we've given up at a deadline, because a lot of people were saying, why would you trade for Edmondson and Dewar? And maybe we should get into those trades first.
Do you know why they traded for Edmondson?
Cross checks per 60 through the roof.
Nah, yeah, sure.
So
I don't understand it, but sure.
Well,
defensive depth and like protect the home plate, but
yeah,
if it's going to result in Simon Benoit sitting, then it's just a dumb trade.
I agree. That's a problem. And I think, I wonder if the whole reason why we're seeing Benoit sit right now is to give Liljegren his chance because he's earned it. Sure, I guess.
But they're saying we need to give Timothy Liljegren ice time. Just like we saw what happened last year. We need to get him consistent ice time so that he can step up, give him confidence, get him touches, blah, blah, blah. What happens when you start then jigging back and forth Simon Benoit?
It's not good for him.
Why wouldn't that happen to him and not Liljegren?
I don't know. It's a good question. Like, That's a great point.
I don't get it. You traded for an old defensive defenseman that's not playing well this year at all and handles the puck like a grenade. And you benched your younger, cheap defensive defenseman that you already had so that you can play the other guy who's debatably worse. I really, really, really did not like that. Maybe we get an 18-19 St. Louis Blues Cup run out of Joel Edmondson, but I'm not holding my breath. I didn't really like that move.
That's fair. I'm more optimistic about it in the sense that I think there is value in having a longer defenseman there. I think there is value, like you said, in that, like we talked about this last episode, that the Leafs' biggest issue in the playoffs last year, I think people miscast it. It wasn't that our players were, or our defense struggled under pressure. It was that we gave up a lot of chances within the home plate. We weren't able to clear the net as well as we prefer. Those were two issues, right? There was no way of addressing the issue of our defensemen being able to handle the puck because our defensive core essentially stayed the same from last year. The only difference is that we got Benoit, right? Like, that's the only difference. So if taking out
Shen, Mark Chen in, Lubushkin and Shen. Out,
but
and then,
that's the, yeah. Right, those are like lateral moves, I'd
Cole
argue.
Out, Giordano out.
In the sense of puck handling and promoting the puck to your forwards. Those are lateral moves, right? There was no real way of improving our puck movers on defense. There was no way, right? And the onus is going to be on our forwards to help out with that. But what we did do and what we did, where we did improve, is net front ability, being able to clear the net, allowing our goalies, who listen, I was hard on Ilya Samsonov to start the year, but he's picked it up. And Joseph Woll is struggling a bit, but again, he's just back from injury. He's going to look good. Whoever's playing for us in the playoffs, it's important to get them clear sight lines, because that's how they're going to, that's how we're going to win games, is by allowing them to see the puck and make saves. Right. And that's not going to be done with the forwards that we, with the defense we had right now. No, I love Mark Giordano, right? But if his he also struggled last year handling the puck. If you're not able to clear the net now, what are you doing for us? If you if you're not doing things above average in promoting the puck to the forwards, what are you doing in zone defensively? I'd rather have a guy who is similar capability of promoting the puck, where neither do it well but can defend it in zone at the very least. Because if you're struggling to promote the puck, where's the puck going to be? In your zone. That's like, right? So that's my logic behind the Joel Edmondson stuff. Why I'm not as opposed to it as other people seem to be. But like you said, I would not be too happy if that leads to Benoit sitting, because then that's just a mistake, because we hit a home run with Benoit. We did. So
775 coming off of not being qualified. I think that's a pretty good signing there. Regarding the goals against in the playoffs last year, I guess I'm going to have to rewatch them. But from what I'm remembering, like I'm remembering there was a Florida game where it was a Marner to Matthews at the blue line. Matthews tried to make an extra move, give away the other way, scores. Nylander giveaway at the blue line, tried to make an extra move, fell, went the other way, scores. And then there was a few off the rush for sure. I'm remembering a good amount off the rush, but I'm going to have to go through more of them. But I really did think last year was puck moving from the defense was astronomically bad. But in terms of the forwards, again, like did you get faster? Not really. So
yeah. And we didn't. Yeah. So just, I feel like we should have led with what we traded for Joel Edmondson here, because we're basically pretty much talking. Yeah. We're talking about the Joel Edmondson trade here basically. Right.
Yeah.
What we traded was, I believe it was the New York Islanders third round pick that we had for this year. Let me just double check if it was for third round pick for next year, 2024, and this year, it's 2024, this year, this upcoming draft, 2025, fifth round pick, Chicago. So next year, Chicago's pick from next year, which is basically a fourth. Trade-wise, like, I do feel like we gave up a little bit more than we should have, like a little bit. Like, I would have been happier with a later fifth, giving that up, a later third. But again, we only had so many assets to work with here.
You didn't have an astronomical amount of assets to work with, but so in total, we just buried the lead with Joel Edmondson. That's all we're talking about. The Leafs also got Connor Dewar, who's a good depth player, goes to the net, a little bit of grit, can penalty kill, has 10 goals this year, four of them against Nashville. I think, four of them against Nashville, which is kind of funny when you think about it. Yeah. And then they also added, obviously, you remember Lyubushkin, and then they traded for an undrafted free agent, Cade Weber, I believe his name is. Yeah. He's like 6'6" out of Boston University. So we'll see what happens. He has like 6 points this year. But again, I had never watched him, so I'm not passing judgment. I think he'll join the Marlies at the end of the year. So then that's where we can judge him.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly jump on the Cade Weber stuff. People are saying, oh, is it whatever. Like, assuming it's like a Treliving move, but like Brad Treliving mentions, like I think he had a press conference that like they've been looking at him for the last 2 years. So it's like it's not even like a him thing. The Leafs have a massive organization. It's not just Treliving is the head and controls everything. Yeah. Like they have guys who work for them and they take their opinions and value them, and like, hey, obviously they saw something if they've been looking at him for 2 years. So I just thought that was a little funny.
But so at the end of the day, with the trade deadline, you end up keeping Cowan, Minton,
first,
I think that's a Cowan, Minton, your first round pick. No, Nick Robertson's not gone, although he seems a little bit frustrated, but we'll deal with that. We'll push that down the line and deal with that later. So those were positives on what you kept. In terms of what you got, like, again, we mentioned Labushkin. Like, you're getting something from him, and you needed someone that plays the right side. Okay, sure, there. Edmondson, again, like, they say he plays the right side. I've never watched him play the right side yet, so I'm having a tough time judging him there, but I don't really like him on the left side, so that's interesting. And then Connor Dewar, maybe I for some reason I tweeted that he's speedy. I'd like to redact that, but he does bring a little bit of a bolster to your bottom six, right? We were complaining at the beginning of the year, hey, our fourth line sucks, our fourth line sucks, our fourth line sucks, our penalty kill sucks. Well, we added someone that's a little bit of an upgrade there. And I believe he's under team control for next year as well. He's a 99 born.
He's an ARB RFA. So what he'll get in arbitration is probably not a lot. He's 24 years old.
800K. The Leafs invited him to development camp in 2017. Fun fact. It's a
funny little story there. But yeah, his ARB, like, I can't imagine he would get a lot in his ARB case, and he's under team control for this year and at least next. I believe next year it might be 3 years after. I forget how it works with the age. But
99 is 25. So I think maybe a year or two after, but something like that.
It's at least two, maybe three.
Yeah,
probably.
The biggest positive that I saw from the fourth line, actually, that in the Montreal game, Keith threw them out there 3-2 game, 3:30 left, and they did a phenomenal job of keeping the puck in the offensive zone, cycling, causing turnovers, like, and then they were able to get a change, and like, it was a full minute killed late in a one goal game against a pretty shitty team, but you know, take some positives here and there. So that was good to see. Thought that was a good shift.
That's a good point. And just to close things out on Connor Dewar, just my last thoughts is he has the piss and vinegar that we're looking for. You mentioned the PK ability, which is really nice that we've been missing. The penalty kill has been a lot worse this year than last year. So it adds that. And again, like, we feel like we've needed center depth. He can play center. So like, it's another box checked, and cherry on top, team control. It's not a deadline move.
Yeah.
We're going to have
him. The issue is he plays fourth line center. We're looking for third line centered.
Yeah. So I'm going to get into that because I think I kind of want to talk about more so where we see the team fitting. What should the outlook of the line be? What should game one of the playoffs? And I know this isn't on the dock, and I'm throwing you under the bus here, but before, I'll give you time to think about that. What would you rate the deadline? So if we're going to take in totality all the assets that the Leafs traded, I'm going to recap all their trades here. I'm going to not include the Cade Weber trade because that feels like that's not a deadline move to me. That feels like a trade that just is made because, I don't know, because you're in trade talks with people and you're like, whatever. Like, you know, that feels like it doesn't feel like it's applicable to this trade deadline. Is that fair to say?
Sure, whatever.
So
it's a sixth round pick. I don't care.
Exactly. So in totality, the Leafs get Labushkin. Double retained, 687K. They gave up a third round pick and sixth round pick.
Just forget about the retained part because, well, I don't know. I feel like the retained part on like Labushkin is like, oh, okay, it's good. And then they needed to make more moves, and then they didn't really.
Can I say why it's actually still very good? They now don't have to pay for
the retention. Yeah.
Well, no. But you paid for the retention, but there's no longer once the trade deadline is over, there's no longer a limit with how many players you can have. You just have to be under the cap. So if you don't get these double retentions, you're potentially risking, listen, I don't value Holmberg that highly, but you're potentially risking waiving Holmberg, who is signed for a year after this and is an RFA. So 2+ years of team control. You're potentially waiving Noah Gregor, who, again, I don't think he's been that good towards the last couple of games. But again, that's depth that you'd have to get rid of as a result of not getting the double retention. You can also keep three goalies too, which is pretty helpful. If knock on wood, we don't ever come to that scenario.
That's a good call.
So I think that's something that's kind of being missed here because the alternative was we didn't double retain him and Nicholas Robertson is sitting in the minors right now because it seems like at least to this team, they value having these assets up here. And I'm sure, listen, they probably put those guys on waivers if push comes to shove for it. But why make the choice when you don't have to? And the difference of that is giving up a sixth round pick when you have 3 5th round picks this year.
Or being like Vegas where you have to ice like 9 players.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, because they just don't have enough cap space.
Yeah. So,
sorry. Go on. I interrupted and I was wrong.
No, it's all good. And then Joel Edmondson, they get him for a 3rd and a 5th. And then finally, Connor Dewar for a 4th round pick. Totality, what do you rate the Leafs deadline here?
Like, it's a C. What did you really add other than like depth pieces, which some are like debatably not as good as what you had, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just got depth guys, even though you had a couple holes at the top. And on top of that, when you look at the Atlantic Conference, like a lot of people, some people are saying, oh, look at Florida. Look what Florida added. Like, okay, like they added 2 old guys that are on the back nine of their career. I don't know. Like Tarasenko's got put in actually the best spot possible for him.
Yes.
But he's a terrible defensive player. Let's not forget that. Okpozo is a good depth player, is a good depth add, but again, like that's not too huge ads. I think it does a lot for, I do think it does, like Tarasenko himself does the most for Florida's roster as opposed to pretty much any other roster. So that was good for them. And that was good that he wanted to only go to Florida. But yeah, like, and then Boston adds Andrew Peak and Pat Maroon. Okay. That's another 2 depth ads. Detroit doesn't do anything. Tampa Bay adds Anthony Duclair and Matt Dumba. Okay. Well, the Leafs actually got lucky because when you look at it also, Ekblad got injured recently and Eric Cernak got injured recently. So it's kind of a, don't like to pray for injuries, but you know, read between the lines.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's a C on my part.
C is fair. I'll go with like a C plus because I think it's important that with how much we've given up asset wise over the last couple of years, there has to be something said about not completely emptying everything. While I feel like you made your team at the very least deeper, and I think a little bit better, not a massive improvement, but a little bit better. And the reason why I'm like kind of saying that is because I've been tweeting about, so we referenced the Perry pick value calculator, which you can find over on Puckpedia. Puckpedia.com/pickvalue if you're looking for it. Just search Puckpedia and you'll see in the top corner the pick value calculator. They did a great job. Matt Perry developed this, who I mentioned this last episode. Director of analytics, was formerly the director of analytics for over at Arizona. So I'm sure there's different values that each team has, but this is about as close we can get to what the
NHL. And clearly Arizona didn't value it at all because they just didn't use any of the retention.
They didn't
use any retention just to spite Matt Perry.
Yeah, it's crazy. But so anyways, I just look at the totality of what the Leafs gave up in the at the trade deadline. And if you were to combine all the picks that I mentioned, which was a 3rd-round pick, 2 3rd-round picks, a 4th-round pick, and a 5th and a 6th. That gets you to, let's see, that gets you to the 49th. That's the equivalent to the 49th overall pick in the NHL draft. So a mid-round 2 pick is essentially the equivalent, a higher end.
All that together, you were not getting Mantha. You were
exactly. You were not getting Mantha. You were not getting.
Maybe not even getting what Tarasenko was worth. You were not getting what Zucker half retained per se hypothetically was worth, like
Toffoli went for a 2nd and 3rd. I saw someone say on Twitter,
which is criminal. I don't know. Like that's unbelievable that Tyler Toffoli, 26 goals this year, went for a 2nd and a 3rd.
Yeah.
Like, is he playing terrible or something? He's a good player.
I don't know. But I saw someone on
wingers
Twitter
went for nothing this year. Well, wingers quite often go for nothing, but wingers went for nothing this year.
Yeah. And I saw someone on Twitter say, I'd rather have given up 2/3, 2/5 and a 6th and get Toffoli instead of all the moves that we made. That would be impossible. If you were an NHL GM, like use your brain for like 2 seconds here. What would you rather have? A second round pick or a fuck ton of third, fourth, fifth? Like, it's an easy answer. Like, it's a very, very easy answer here. So, that's why I'm giving it a long story short, C plus, is because I think we did a good job managing our assets, not emptying out the cupboards. But I still think our team is a little bit better than it was yesterday or before the deadline. We added depth, and our team is like, I think this is being understated. The Bruins went on trade for Pat Maroon after they played us. Imagine I told you this after the Leafs lost the Bruins in seven games in 2019. Imagine I said in 4 years, the Boston Bruins would make a trade, would make a reactionary trade because they feel they're not tough enough to play the Leafs in the playoffs. Imagine I told you that, because that's essentially what happened. That gives me a sense of pride for this team. Maybe that's stupid, but I like that. That makes me happy. So
a lot of Boston fans got so mad that I said that.
It's true. It's true. It is true. It is the truth. What did Pat Maroon, no offense, it's not 32-year-old Pat Maroon. You're getting 35, 36-year-old Pat Maroon. What value is he going to bring other than being an enforcer for you? Frankly, for a team that doesn't really have many enforcers and is kind of like a fake tough team. I'll go out and say it.
Ooh.
They're a fake tough team. They are. It was easy for Brad Marchand to be a little rat when he could hide behind Zdeno Chara and Milan Lucic and those bigger guys. But now, who are you going to hide behind? If you want to go, you can go. Max Domi's right there. Charlie McAvoy, you like to spear guys in nuts. You like to cross-check guys in the face, but you don't want to scrap? Okay. All right. We'll see how that works in a seven-game series.
I'm trying to do it on the fly, but there's an incredible quote from Pat Maroon. Oh, here it is.
Is it the one of Jack Edwards calling Pat Maroon fat?
No.
Sorry.
Okay, here's part of the quote. It was because someone called him sexist or whatever, because he said the NHL is a man's game, and he's like, got all bent out of shape. Anyways, this is part of the quote here. Second, for all the people who are calling me, I will keep it PG, not smart. Last time I checked, I played hockey, not school. No degree needed here. You should try it.
I play hockey,
anytime
not smart.
I play hockey, not school. No degree needed here. That's my favorite Pat Maroon line. That, and he had sexual intercourse with his teammate's mom when he was in high school.
Crazy. That is seems illegal. But
Look it up. I believe it was in high school. It's like, and you know who the host was when, like, it was on a show. It was on Bravo. It was like Andy Cohen was hosting something, and they asked that question. It turned out like they were like, which person here? Yeah. Anyways, I'm going way too deep into Pat Maroon's life. He's a very funny individual, though. I will say that. But as always, we have to hate him because he's back in the East. So overall, just a very mid trade deadline for the Leafs. I was hoping, kept hearing rumors of this and that. I saw a rumor that the Leafs were working on Parayko and Buchnevich. That turned out to be so fake. It was from just a guy. It wasn't the guy you mentioned earlier. It was a new guy. He was like, I'm hearing from a source, Parayko and Buchnevich. That day, Pierre LeBrun went on Overdrive and said,
thank you.
There has been no talks with Parayko about being traded. I saw this guy's name everywhere.
Yes.
Twitter. LeBrun literally just went, there's been no talks. I don't know where attention's coming from.
They didn't even ask him to waive his no trade clause, which he would have to do because he has a no trade clause. And I think it was like the day before the deadline. It's like less than 24 hours to go to the deadline. He hasn't even been approached about a trade. There's 0% chance they're going to figure that out between now and the deadline. So
just dumb. Anyways, but that's what happens with every trade deadline. So let's take a look around the East, shall we? As we mentioned, Boston, Andrew Peak, and Pat Maroon. We mentioned Florida getting Okpozo as well as Tarasenko. I will highlight Carolina getting Jake Guentzel and not giving up a first-round pick and not giving up their top prospects, it seems like, for that one. And giving up Michael Bunting, who was doing terrible for them, who has years left, which...
which
I wonder how he's going to fit with Pittsburgh. Well, that'll be interesting.
Quickly with that, you were able to like maneuver a cap dump as well without giving up many assets, getting Jake Guentzel, allowing you to get Evgeny Kuznetsov, who is like,
which is not very good. That's a big, but, big gamble.
I mean, the fact that you gave a third for Kuznetsov and then gave a second and three mid-tier prospects.
He was retained, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he was retained.
Because he went through waivers. There's no chance someone's trading a third just straight up for Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
He was retained.
So, they the good news?
If I'm going to speculate, they kind of had to get him away from a guy that goes through waivers, doesn't get claimed by anyone, is a former 70-point guy, goes to the minor leagues, and then they half retain his 7-point-whatever million-dollar salary to get rid of him. Kind of spells to me, I hate to be rude, but like, get away from our young guys.
Fair.
But he could – he's a very talented player. Doing horrible this year. Maybe something clicks.
It's
Carolina. In the first game, it looked like it did.
It's simple. It's a Patriot effect. Put a guy in a winning position, the problems seem to disappear pretty quickly. So, and that Carolina team has one issue.
Well, like Aaron Hernandez?
Scoring goals. Yeah. Yeah. Like Aaron Hernandez. Hmm.
How'd that one
end? Yeah. Put that guy into a position to score goals, and yeah, he's there. So, that's what Carolina needs. That's what they got. Thankfully, yeah,
like Mac
a Jones. Lot of the biggest moves went all to the West. Like the biggest like players. The biggest players went to the West. So,
like Juju Smith-Schuster.
He was fine for the Patriots.
Shit. They sucked last year. Fuck you.
But this is
winning that's not for 20 years straight.
That's not the one I'm talking about. The other one is what I'm talking about. Antonio Brown.
The other Patriots.
Tony Brown was the Patriots. I'm thinking of the Bucks now.
Clown Tonio. Anyways, yes, the West did get a lot stronger, but I mean the Metropolitan. When you look at it, like Billy made a trade. They traded away Sean Walker. They signed Nick Seeler. Okay, didn't they make a trade for another person? I can't remember who though. The Leafs are playing them soon, so. Should know this. The Devils trading for Jake Allen was interesting, and then trading away Tyler Toffoli, that was a little bit of an interesting maneuver. I think so. With Jake Allen's numbers right now, they're not that great. Montreal is not that great. We'll say that. So now with New Jersey, we get to see like how much do those numbers shift? Is it the goalie? Is it the team in front of them? That's going to be. An interesting little statistical thing to follow there, right? And then the Rangers went out and got Alex Wenberg. Did they make any other moves?
I don't think so. I think that was the only move that the Rangers made. So,
yep. So, looks like the Carolina loaded. I think Carolina did
the best by
would
far.
You say they did the best? Yeah, Jake Guentzel's a good player.
In the East, absolutely. In the East, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What about in the West?
Yeah, it's Vegas. It's Vegas, baby.
Oh yeah.
Vegas did a good job. Colorado did a good job. Winnipeg sneakily not giving up a lot of assets did a good job getting Toffoli.
They gave up more. Did they not give up more for Monahan?
Yes.
Unretained?
Yes.
So. Was Toffoli retained at all? I can't remember.
Nah.
That'd be a good question for why he only went for a second and a third. But anyways, regardless, Toffoli was half retained.
Correct.
I thought he was a lot, but he would have been worth a lot more than what he went for. But I could be wrong. Who cares? But yeah, the West. So Dallas getting Chris Tanev. As you mentioned, Vegas loading up. Is Vegas in, like, out of the wild card spot now, though?
No, they're in. I haven't checked recently, but I think they're in it.
Is Eichel back for them? I know Stone is done until... I should have looked this up before, but this is not a West Coast podcast. They're in the last playoff spot. Look at that. Yeah. They have two games in hand and four games in hand on
Minnesota, sorry, like they have a cushion.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So, and from the looks of it, the Leafs have like a random number I'm pulling from my head, 68% chance that they're going to play Boston.
Okay, so we gotta. We'll probably be talking more about that in the coming weeks, but yeah. I will say this: Vegas 3-6-1 in the last 10. Hurdle is coming back soon, so that's interesting. I cannot believe that they got Hanifin as well. Just they're playing with Monopoly money, and they keep getting away from it. But it'll all catch up to them eventually. Maybe in the year 2050, they'll miss the playoffs. Maybe this year. I really hope they miss the playoffs this year. I'm not going to lie. I am kind of a hater. But
it'd be fun to watch. The problem is
Edmonton got Adam Henrique as well. That was it's an interesting one. I wonder how he's going to look with that mix in terms of because he's not a very good skater. He's a good finisher. Mm-hmm. Relied a lot on Troy Terry. Who's going to be his Troy Terry? I don't know. So we'll see about that one. That one's really going to be interesting and really going to test my eye test, we'll say. Because last year I did not have the most flattering things to say about it. Even this year, he's slow. He's slow as hell. He's not much of a playmaker. He's a finisher.
It looks like they're playing him with Connor Brown and Evander Kane. So we'll see how that works.
Oh, that's good. Connor Brown's doing pretty well this year. How many points do he have? How many goals do you have?
Zero.
Does he have a goal yet?
I don't think so. And I think they are where they're gonna have to pay him $4 million next year.
Like $3.5 million because of the
bonus. They just performance bonus.
They could have waived him. Yeah. They could have waived him and they just didn't.
If you waive him, you don't have to pay the performance bonus. I didn't know that's how it worked.
Well, the performance bonus was if he played 10 games. He was at nine games, he had 0 points. Like send him down. Don't let him play another game. But
that if it was regular season games, they should have just done that.
And if he didn't play junior with Connor Brown or Connor McDavid.
McDavid.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Anyway,
I cannot wait to talk about fast forward 6 months that we'll have an episode of why the Leafs should acquire Connor Brown in free agency.
Yeah, for $775K, not for $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't make the team out of camp, it's just like, all right, who cares? Whatever. Love to have the good old Mimical Boy back in town. Why not? We need more Mimical Boys on this team.
Now we just got a bunch of boys from the past.
From Manitoba.
Manitoba, yeah.
That's a funny. Kevin Papetti pointed that one out. That was really funny. So many of Trey Living's acquisitions are from Manitoba. But anyways, you have anything else on the docket?
That's it for me.
That's all for me. Thanks everyone for listening.